Welcome to worship at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. I am Director of Music, Cody Jones, filling in for Pastor Andrew. Let us confess our sins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose voice is upon the waters, whose mercy is poured out upon all people, whose goodness cascades over all creation. Amen. Let us confess our sin, trusting in the abundant grace of God. Holy God, you search us and know us. You are acquainted with all our ways. We confess that our hearts are burdened by sin, our own sins, and the broken systems that bind us. We turn inward, failing to follow your outward way of love. We distrust those who are not like us. We exploit the earth and its resources and fail to consider generations to come. Forgive us, gracious God, for all we have done and left undone. Even before the words are on our tongues, you know them. Receive them in your divine mercy. Amen. How vast is God's grace! Through the power and promise of Christ Jesus, our sins are washed away, and we are claimed as God's own beloved. Indeed, we are forgiven. In the wake of God's forgiveness, we are called to be the beloved community, living out Christ's justice and the Spirit's reconciling peace. Amen.
Star, how fair and bright,
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all, and also with you.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God,
Let us pray. Holy God, creator of light and giver of goodness, your voice moves over the waters. Immerse us in your grace and transform us by your Spirit, that we may follow after your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from Genesis. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning that first day. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "This is the one who is more powerful than I, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So we gather together virtually on the festival celebration of the baptism of our Lord. Some people would say that Christmas is officially over, and some people would say maybe Christmas will last just a little longer. But here we are at the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Before we get into what Christians have long called baptism, I want us to set the stage just a little bit. Jesus of Nazareth, who, born to a poor, unmarried woman, in a humble setting, altered the world's perception of a king. However, if we read Scripture closely, the Jewish people were not necessarily looking for a king, at least not necessarily a king that we would picture. When thinking about the one who is to come, as John the Baptist said, let's think of some of the giants of the tradition who had come before. So we're going to take a whirlwind field trip through the Old Testament. So hang on. Let's remember Abraham. Abraham wandered the deserts as a nomad. He had no home. He questioned God to the extent of bargaining with God, appealing to God's better sense. Let's remember Moses, who really could lead, but he got frustrated, not only with the people of Israel, but with God. But he did bring them to the promised land. And don't forget Elijah, a rugged wilderness prophet, challenging the abuses of power wielded by King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, who, by the time that they were in power, the people of Israel had started to lose their devotion to the God that Moses had encountered centuries before. Are you still with me? We're looking at what Jesus has been born into and what Jesus is going to be initiated into. What is this tradition? And of course, the most recent example for Jesus is everyone's favorite troublemaker, John the Baptist, who was often mistaken for the Messiah. We have to remember that. We get just a small glimpse of John the Baptist, but what we see is potent in imagery. Camel's hair, eating locusts, a real rabble rouser. Also calling out the abuses of power by Herod of Galilee. Herod's wife, Herodias, was insulted by the prophet's judgment and ordered that John the Baptist be killed. So these are the profiles of just four leaders of the people of Israel. And none of them is particularly glamorous. To not point out, even further, because we're setting that stage, we're still on this field trip, to not point out that all of these men were shaped by women whose stories did not dominate the pages of Scripture, would be short-sighted. Remember, we're setting the stage. What is Jesus being initiated into in his baptism? There was Sarah, who belonged to Abraham, or Abraham, who belonged to Sarah, who had the faith to laugh at the wisdom of God. Miriam, who taught Moses how to sing praises to God. The widow of Zarephath, who challenged Elijah, but had the faith, nevertheless, to prepare food for Elijah and give him her son, questioning the nonsense of this prophet and the God he represented. And of course, Elizabeth, the faithful mother of John the Baptist, who in her older age believed that God would change her life so that every Christian would know her name and praise her for her faith. These are the giants of the tradition in which Jesus is being baptized. And now we come to Jesus. Jesus, born of Mary and raised by Mary and Joseph, he was shaped by his community and began to question and challenge others at an early age. Too often we put Jesus in a lens that looks like what we grew up with. But this was a culture that shaped Jesus, that nurtured him from a very early age. But when it came to his public ministry, because we know little about what Jesus was doing before today's gospel reading, his initiation was baptism. That was the beginning of his public ministry. It was his baptism that began the story of his adult work. The story beginning with baptism moves quickly to the wilderness and fasting, then to calling of the disciples to join him in his work, healing, preaching, challenging, questioning, cleansing the temple, perplexing the leaders, and turning the wisdom that they had held so dear upside down. And then finally, dying and rising. This is the story that begins with the rite of baptism. And that's what's gathered us today, the story of the baptism of our Lord. It was not long after the ascension of Jesus that, excuse me, for the young church, baptism became the initiation rite for us. And it was not long after that that Christians began to use baptism as a convenient dividing line for us and them, the welcome and the unwelcome, the clean and the unclean. And this is a cycle we see at work even today, thousands of years later. So, as one lay Christian to another, if you get nothing out of everything that I've just said but this statement, then I hope it is this. And this is to me, and this is to you. This is to all of us. We are baptized. We are the baptized. We are not better. You are baptized. You are not better. I am baptized. I am not better than. For too many centuries, the church has used theology to beat down those who do not agree or those who do not know. The work of baptism is not a work of self-improvement, but the work of reconciliation. When God created the heavens and the earth, God saw that it was good. We messed up, and if you need any more evidence of this, turn on the TV or open up your social media feed. We have messed up. We messed up, and the work from henceforth was a work of reconciliation, of putting the world to rights. First through the law of Moses, then through the prophets, then through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Therefore, as baptized people of God, we are called to give our lives in the service of justice, peace, and reconciliation. And now is the time. As a lay Christian, I have to confess I am deeply troubled by what has been proclaimed in the name of Jesus. It was one thing when I was a teenager doing reading and reading about the Crusades, slaughter of thousands in the name of Jesus, or the Inquisition, or corrupt popes in the name of Jesus. That was one thing to read that. It was many years ago and in a land far away. But today, even now, even this week, the name of Jesus has been co-opted for purposes that are anything but justice, peace, and reconciliation. And even as I wrote these words down, I have been glued to the television, probably like many of you, at what is happening right now in our world. When I see the violence, my heart sinks. When I see the violence and then see flags with the name of Jesus on them, I have no words. Perhaps you don't want to hear that, and I don't want to either, quite frankly. So I leave you with this. One lay person to another, our baptismal covenant is calling us to a life of service, a life of service to justice, peace, and reconciliation. And that life of service to justice, peace, and reconciliation begins right now. What have I done to ensure justice? What will I do to make peace? How will I work for reconciliation? These are the questions I must ask myself if I intend to uphold my part of the baptismal covenant. Let's ask ourselves these questions. Justice, peace, reconciliation. What are we doing today, tomorrow, this week? May we do so with humility and love for the God who calls us, love for each other and for ourselves, and love for the world in which God calls us to live. Amen. Let us confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Guided by Christ, made known to the nations, let us offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all people in need. For the church throughout the world and its leaders, that guided by the Holy Spirit, they proclaim the forgiveness of sins. Let us pray. Have mercy, O God. For wilderness and water, wind and wild beasts, and all living things on earth, that God's goodness is revealed through creation, and faithful stewards care for all God has made. Let us pray. Have mercy, O God. For the nations of the world and their leaders, for laborers busy both day and night, and for peacemakers amid strife, that God inspire all people to use their strength wisely. Let us pray. Have mercy, O God. For the sick and those who provide medical care, for the imprisoned and those who show them mercy, for the lonely and those who provide companionship, for all who suffer, we remember now those in our hearts and on our lips. That God shower compassion, let us pray. Have mercy, O God. For this congregation, for students returning to school, for teachers returning to school, for those seeking renewal in their daily work, that all the beloved of God experience grace and peace, let us pray. Have mercy, O God. In thanksgiving for the faithful departed who now rest from their labors, that their witness inspire us in our baptismal vocations, let us pray. Have mercy, O God. Merciful God, hear the prayers of your people, spoken or silent, for the sake of the one who dwells among us, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. We gather these prayers and all of our other prayers in the prayer that Jesus, our Lord, taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of Christ be with us all.
Also with you.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless us all now and forever. Amen. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.